try to ignore Brother Stewart when he tells you that we're collecting the drink for the Lord's Supper tonight out there in those buckets, all right? We are not doing that. And we're also not prescribing a new mode of baptism. We will not go to that, but anyway, it is an exciting time of the year, isn't it? Praise the Lord, and we're delighted to have you here and delighted to have a group here. Again, many churches canceled today because of the ice, and praise the Lord you've come, and let's get into the Bible and study it. We have lesson 29, the arising beast from the sea, talking about the Antichrist. How many of you need lesson 29? All right, and my usher is probably out dumping buckets. So Matt, if you could help us out. Perry, maybe help us. Do you have those, Perry? Yeah. Oh, Perry has them, Matt. Oh, you have lesson 30. Are there any lesson 29s in there? All right. So if you need lesson 29 or 30, either one, go ahead and raise your hand. And that'll be good. Lesson 29, the arising beast from the sea. We may get started on lesson 30 this morning. And that is the assisting beast out of the earth. And again, dealing with a section, Revelation chapters 12 and 13, and the seven key characters. And so we are on the last key character. Well, we're on the second to the last, but then lesson 30 is the last key character known as the false prophet. And so we're winding down this section, section 5, that has taken quite a bit of time dealing with. Again, since they are key characters in the book of the Revelation, as well as during the tribulation time, it certainly would make sense that we would spend a lot of time on it. So our memory verse for lesson 29 is Revelation 13:4. Let's go ahead and say that again, and hopefully you're becoming familiar with it. We have been talking about it for quite a while. We'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4, and again, Revelation 13:4, and they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13:4. Thank you again, Father, that we could be in church today. Thank you that it's not snowing, raining, freezing rain, or sleeting, or anything right now, and that we have really a decent day to drive here and drive home in. And so I pray that you will bless us now and all of our classes that are going on the property. Please have your will and your way in hearts and lives. And if there's anyone here today who does not know Jesus as Savior, boy, what a great thing it'd be for them to realize that that Jesus loves them and that they can be saved. And so please work in hearts and just give the teachers your power, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been talking about the Antichrist now for several weeks, and we talked about number one is personal characteristics. Again, one of the key things, he is a human, but he is empowered by Satan, and he has lots of different powers and abilities and all of that. Number two, we talked about his promotion and how he rises up to national and international power. And again, what an amazing thing to imagine that somebody could rise up and have such international power. This will happen in a matter of really a short amount of time, perhaps, that he will become so powerful. But we talked about how that will happen, the promotion. I think one of the key things we spent a little time on as to why this would happen and how this could possibly happen, one of the key things was the fact that mankind will be so ignorant of the Scriptures. Mankind, whether our fault because we're not getting the message out, or whether their own choice, they just don't want to hear it. We dealt with all those kinds of things. While we have become, you know, the churches in the world have become somewhat stagnant. Satan is working very, very hard to promote the deception that he promotes. And while many Christians are letting the Bible sit on their table or on a shelf somewhere instead of reading it, studying it, getting to know it, Satan is getting his stuff out through the media, through TV, through radio, through music, through books, so many things. And ultimately, it will lend itself toward the Antichrist being very well promoted, and he will rise up and be very powerful in that day. And again, I want to remind you that as we think about this, the climate at the beginning of the tribulation is the rapture will have taken place. The world will be in complete chaos. Again, try to imagine the rapture taking place. All Christians will be gone. All Christians are gone. And again, you know, dealing with numbers, okay, how many Christians are in the world? How many people are saved? And it doesn't matter. It's a lot. There are a lot of Christians, and especially, you know, in the United States of America, it is going to be complete chaos. And right now with this part of the building over here leaking like that, if we all went in the rapture, the Antichrist can have that wing, amen. They can just leak on his head, but it's gonna be unbelievable as the Bowmans are gonna be gone. They're saved people. They're gonna be gone, and so there's an empty house. There's wherever Brother Bowman was when the rapture takes place. There's an empty place. And all of a sudden, you know, he's not there. And somebody's going to get after your Harley. Amen? And it's going to be total chaos. Well, I personally think the Antichrist will rise on the scene and take control. And again, God sends a strong delusion. Many then are going to believe the lie that is spread. You know, what happened to all these people? Somebody's going to answer that question. You know, somebody's going to have their theory. They're going to answer that question, and there's speculation on all that. But again, it is going to be a time of chaos, and it is going to be ripe, very, very ripe for the promotion of the Antichrist and his power. And so, again, we have to grasp what is going to take place during that time. So we kind of ended last week with a somewhat of a timeline dealing with the Antichrist and all of that. And I just want to go over that again just real quick, and then we'll get to Roman numeral 4, his persecution. But the timeline is the rapture takes place. Again, we know that the tribulation time is 7 years. And we know that it is divided by 3.5. And there is a midpoint. Those numbers are given to us by time, times, and half a time. That is the 3.5 years. And also the months, the 42 months is given to us in the scripture. So we know that that is kind of a division. And again, remember when we talk chronology, when we talk about timelines, there is some speculation there, okay? When I say, here's what I think, I'm not saying this is how it definitely is. Now, I do know this. I know that when all that takes place, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be there because rapture, I'm going to be gone. But it is, and I was talking to somebody about this week, this idea that, why do we deal with the end times? Why do we talk about the tribulation? Folks, honestly, I talk about it and I read it myself and I study it. It is God's word. But it makes me realize more and more how somebody who's lost is going to be lost. And they're going to go through a terrible time, and then they're going to die and go to hell. And it reminds me again how we still have time to reach lost people. We still have time to get on the streets and tell people about Jesus Christ. We still have time to run our buses and to go pick up little children and even adults and bring them to church so that they can hear how to be saved. We still have time to do all of that. And so we deal with the timeline and the rapture takes place. I think the Antichrist steps in and he's smooth, he's deceptive, he's got everything under control and got it all figured out. He calms the world. because it's going to be chaos with all the Christians gone. And he calms things down. And there may be war. Certainly, I have thought for years that if anybody is vulnerable when the rapture takes place, vulnerable to a nuclear attack, it would be the United States. We have Christians in key positions in America, and Christians, you know, with launch capabilities, and all of a sudden they're gone. And so again, that's all speculation, cannot be proven. But try to imagine, you know, that kind of thing takes place. The U.S. is bombed, and I just have always had a hard time seeing the United States in the tribulation time being a power. So something will happen, I believe. But the Antichrist will step up, and he'll talk peace. He'll talk about treaties, and we have an indication there will be a treaty with Israel, and there will be an agreement, a 7-year agreement with Israel, and sacrifices will be reinstated. He will look like the hero to the Jews. He will look like, boy, this guy is, he's the greatest thing since Twinkies, amen? And they, you know, it will seem like, boy, this guy's great. He is deceiving and roping people in. And at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist will enter the temple. He will commit abomination. Again, we talked about it last week, an abomination that is so repulsive, it will drive everyone away, thus making the temple desolate. It will be so bad. And some have suggested that he'll offer a pig as a sacrifice and all these kind of things. But what will happen is it will cause the Jews to recognize that they are now going to be persecuted. It will be so repulsive. It'll be so, obvious, his declaration at the midpoint of the tribulation after 3.5 years. It will be so obvious they will need to flee. But again, they will now go back and remember prophecy of the scripture that said this day would come. And all they have to do is go back to the book of Daniel. All they would have to do, Daniel 9. All they would have to do then is, if they wanted, they would look at the New Testament and Matthew 24, and they will flee. And so then you have the last half of the tribulation, the last 3.5 years, which is a time of persecution. We come to that in our outline, number 4, and that is his persecution. This is the Antichrist and his persecution, Revelation 13 and verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now take note of that, and to overcome them. Okay, so and we'll break this down as we look at Roman numeral 4, but there now we have war with the saints, okay? And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Okay, so he now has become, at this point, he is now powerful. He is now a worldwide power himself. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And so again, you have a line drawn. And you have people who have been saved, and you have people who are not saved. And it will be a distinguishing time between, okay, you will either worship me or you will die. And they will worship him or they will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it, there is no in between. And let me just remind you, folks, that is how it is even now. Jesus said, I am the way. God made it very, very clear in Scripture, the way is narrow. The way to heaven, it is a narrow way. You hear people all the time, oh, religious people, there are many roads that lead to heaven. Not true. Not true. There is one way to heaven. It's not the Baptist way. It's not the Methodist way, not the Catholic way. It is God's way. And he said that way is Jesus Christ, his dying on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. That is the only way. There is no other way to get to heaven. And so if you're trusting anything else, you say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Bible says we're all sinners. You say, well, I'm pretty religious. Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. That is, there is no other way. And so that will be very, very clear during the tribulation time. There, you know, I hear people all the time, they talk about, well, I don't want to be tricked into taking a mark. I don't want to, you know, if you're saved, I believe with all my heart, you'll be gone. But even if you weren't, and even if the tribulation took place, and you know, nobody's going to be tricked. There, it will be a decision. Hey, I'm either going to trust Jesus or I'm not going to trust Jesus. That's it. I'm either going to worship the God of heaven or I'm going to worship this little g Antichrist God. Period. It will be a decision that will be made, and it will be war. Can you imagine? Okay, let's just say, and by the way, this happens in other countries. We just don't see it. But in other countries, Christians are having to stand. You know, do you believe in Jesus? Then you're going to lose your job. You believe in Jesus, you're going to lose your life. You know, we just don't see it. We hear things like, oh, you Christians, who do you think you are? Are you Bible thumpers? We get called names and all that kind of thing. But in others, there are countries where Christians are dying. That's how in the tribulation it will be worldwide. Where if you stand for Jesus Christ, and so what would you do? Somebody walks in right now. Perry just happened to get up. Perry does not have a submachine gun. I don't even know if they make sub. You know what I mean. Anyway, but Perry. Somebody walks in and says, "All right, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you know, stand against the wall. We're going to blow your brains out." What would you do? Well, bless God, I know what I'd do. Well, I like to think we would all take a stand for Jesus Christ. But I'm just telling you, that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean it's going to be. That's why, boy, we need to get people saved today. That's why if you have a loved one who has never trusted Christ as Savior, you need to tell them how much Jesus loves them. And how they need to be saved. I think the end is near. I really do. Anyway, I'm getting preaching. All right, so it will be a very, very obvious thing as far as the persecution is concerned. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And so, this persecution, these verses deal with that. And let's go back to verse 4. And again, we have an idea of this persecution. They worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And in this last 42 months, this last 3.5 year period of the tribulation, it would seem no one. He will have that much power. It would seem that no one would be able to make war with him. That is an excellent question. Again, because this beast has this wound that is unto death, the Bible says, and he's healed from it. I mean, it looks like you cannot stop this guy. But folks, let's just think about something here. Go back to verse 2 of chapter 13. And wait a minute, yeah. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And watch this. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon. Okay, remember the dragon. That was one of our key characters during this time. The dragon gave him his power. But let's just remember something about the dragon. Okay, who's the dragon? Satan. Okay, now let's remember something that just happened as far as our study is concerned. Back in chapter 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Questions asked, who's able to make war? Well, wait a minute. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. So the dragon and his demons, okay, are fighting Michael and his angels. And it's a huge war. By the way, the war goes on here. It's going on now. It's war. But notice this about the dragon and his demons, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Remember how we talked about the devil coming up to heaven and accusing and accusing and accusing. Whenever there's accusing going on, you can know the devil's near. I mean, it's just, you just guarantee. And that's one of his trademarks. And so he prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Isn't that good? Now, wait a minute. Who gives the Antichrist his power? The dragon. And the dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who is able to make war with the beast? Oh, I got news for you. There's one who's going to make war. There's one who is going to cast him out again. And so just remember that, you know, it looks impossible. You ever been in a possible situation? You ever been in a situation, it just looks like there is absolutely no way, no way I'm going to get out of this thing. We are in big trouble. You ever been there? That's the way it's going to seem. And so the question asked, who is able to make war with him? Well, we know where his power comes from, and we know his power source was cast out of heaven by God Almighty and Michael and his angels. And we know that he is not all-powerful. And so as we're in heaven, rejoicing, we're at the judgment seat of Christ, we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which I can't even imagine all the good food that'll be there, and we're rejoicing, we don't ever have to worry about him getting up in there and causing trouble. You know what? When you finally go to your mansion and whatever all that entails, and the beauty and the splendor and all of that, you never, never again have to worry about the devil messing with you. You know, he is a defeat. But folks, honestly, when you walk out the doors today, as we close in prayer in a few minutes, you know what? You don't have to worry about the devil, because we are more than conquerors. We do have the victory. And as we consider the question, who is able to make war with him? Well, we already know the answer. And he's able to make war not just during the tribulation time, not just when he casts him out of heaven, which he will do, but he's able to make war in your life with the devil. And he's able to cast him out and give you victory as well. And no matter what it is, no matter what it, you know, you may feel surrounded, but our God is able to deliver us. And praise the Lord for that. And so as we read, you know, I never like to read these passages and think, oh, what are they going to do? Because I don't live that way myself. We know that we are more than conquerors. Praise the Lord. So again, the devil, okay, he's pretty mad. And the Antichrist, he's very much empowered by the devil, so he's really mad. And this 3.5 years, it is going to be hate times thousands. And there will be a persecution like the world has never, ever seen. It will be persecution that you know, we've seen some terrible things happen to people in this world. We've seen terrible things take place in our world and unbelievable things, but nothing like the tribulation. The tribulation will be absolutely terrible. And so verses 12 and 13, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, and he is absolutely furious. And he will go after Israel, which we've already talked about. He will go after the woman. He will go after Israel. Verse 17 says, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And I believe saved Jews. He will be angry. He will be wrathful. He will go after them with a vengeance. Chapter 13 and verse 7, we just read, it was given unto him to make war with the saints, people that have been saved during the tribulation. He will go after them. There will be no mercy. There will be no way to get around it. I mean, he will be relentless to get after them. And verse 8, all shall worship him. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. And so those, again, it will be a distinguishing time where you will either, and again, I say you, but people will either worship the God of gods or the small g, Antichrist God. There's not going to be any in between. You are either saved and trusting Christ, or you're lost and you're worshiping the beast. And it is going to be a very clear 3.5 year period of just unbelievable persecution. Revelation 6 and verse 10. Let's go back to that. Revelation 6 and verse 10. And I really want to emphasize this distinguishing decision. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And it's going to be a time of death like the world has never seen. Again, for you and I, it's shocking. We can't imagine. We can't even imagine our neighbor coming and taking a sword and killing us. We can't imagine, Brother Campbell, our friends and loved ones turning us into authorities that imprison us and execute us. We can't even imagine that, can we? I can't imagine that. I can't. I mean, I get a lot. We have some unsaved neighbors around the church, and you know, we've met them. My wife and I, we walk and we meet our neighbors, and we talk to them, invite them to church, and all those things. But man, I can't imagine. I can't imagine them leading authorities to our home and taking us out of our home and executing us. See, we can't imagine that, but folks, please understand, in our world, it's happening. In other countries, it really is happening, and it is something that we need to understand. It will happen during the tribulation time. There is a forced submission that will take place during the tribulation. Forced, and saved people will die. They will die. Every now and then, I'll have somebody. I know. I'm sure Don has talked to people. Anybody that's going soul winning, you meet people and they say, "Well, you know what? I'm not sure if I really believe all this now, but you know, if that tribulation thing does take place, I'll get saved then." Now, again, the scripture I think is very clear. God sends a strong delusion that they believe a lie because they rejected Christ. But let's say that. Maybe they don't believe the lie. And so here they are saying, "You know what? I see now this is the tribulation. Hey, I looked in at Berean Baptist Church on a Sunday morning and nobody's there. And it wasn't snowing and it wasn't icy and there weren't buckets in the hallway. I mean, nobody's there. There's no cars in the park. Where is everybody? And I looked in and there was no one there. And I now see that maybe what they said was true." And they go through the track rack and they look at all the tracks and they see, you know, again, plan of salvation, plan of salvation, plan of salvation. I mean, it's everywhere. But then they watch the news and the news says, if you trust Jesus Christ, you will have your head cut off. And if you trust Jesus Christ, you will not buy, you will not sell, you will not eat, you will die. I'm just telling you, you know, why would you think you'd get saved then when you won't get saved now? Because I got news for you. In just a little while, we'll give an invitation. And you can come. You can come to this altar. Somebody will meet you up here. And they'll take a Bible. And they'll show you how you can be saved. And you can call on Jesus to forgive you of your sin and save your soul. And you can be saved. And there's no guillotine set up. There's no marking place where you choose. There's no prison where you go. You just trust Christ as your Savior and you're born again. Praise God. During that time, try to imagine how hard it will be to get saved. It always takes faith, you know. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We call upon the Lord by faith. It always takes faith. I can't imagine what it's going to be like during the tribulation to get saved. If people won't get saved now, why in the world do they think they would get saved then during a time of persecution? I've pretty much run out of time. If we can have our ushers come, we'll go ahead and get an offering. But chapter 13 and verse 15, just go ahead and pass those out if you would, fellas. I appreciate that. Chapter 13 and verse 15 says this, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Again, there it is. You know, what story does that remind us of in the Old Testament? Anybody? Anybody think of a story in the Old Testament that reminds us of? I hear it. Is that you, Jim? Somebody said, "Oh, Frank, way back there." What'd you say, Frank? First thing I thought of. We all say, "Wow, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd love to." Yeah. I don't think I'd love to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, you will bow down. We can't bow down. Then you will be thrown in the fiery furnace. Then we will. Wow. It's going to be like that. You will bow down or you will die. Now, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we know that many will die during the tribulation. Chapter 20 and verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But again, there they are, you know. And it is going to happen, and it is going to be, like I said, it will be a time of persecution like the world has never, ever known. And so I repeat, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you're not sure you're going to heaven, and if the rapture were to take place, you really believe you'd be left behind. You see, that's how I got saved when I was 17 years old. I heard a message on the coming of Christ. And I heard a message about the rapture, and the question was asked, would you be left behind or would you go? And I realized I'd be left behind. God used it to speak to my heart, and I came to Christ and got saved. And so if you're here today and you've never been saved, I beg you to get saved. But you know, most of you have been saved, but you know somebody who's not. And let's just do our best to tell them. Let's do our best to show them how they need Jesus. Let's do our best to preach the coming of Christ and the rapture taking place, because it's next. Don't know when it'll be. It might be 100 years from now. I don't know. But I just know this. I know it's the next thing as far as we can tell in prophecy. And I don't want anybody to be left behind. Certainly not on our watch. Amen. So let's think about it and let's let God use it in our hearts and our lives.